Wow. Good morning. This is absolutely terrifying. Yikes. So this is We Can't Promise Anything, advice with Marion and Gilly. Gilly is me. This is pre-recorded for multiple reasons, but also because I'm at work right now. But I thought I'd do this quick introduction. Some of the audio is pretty rough. But we're completely amateur agony ants, so I think it's in keeping. Yeah, you can join in the chat. I will sort of keep an eye on it if you like. And as we explain in the recording, you can send us your problems to wecan'tpromiseanything@gmail.com. Let's have a listen. Marion, that was quite good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. There wasn't any words, though.
No,
Was there?
well, you see, so the first jingle, the Star and Shadow Radio jingle,
Yes, that's very nice.
that's by our friend Ed Murray, Ed Merlin
Oh,
Murray.
yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
And then the second jingle, which is it's a draft jingle for our show
Yeah.
by friend of the show, Jack Burton.
Right.
And he's given us some options.
Yeah.
So then we can choose. So, what did you think of that one?
Well, I thought it was like you could put your own interpretation on it, which is very good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I like the sort of softness that it started with. And then it
Well,
sort of went
a bit like a skilly.
bit like us, yeah. But it did have that dark edge that I thought, it changed.
Gilly. Bit like us.
That's it. So,
Yeah.
okay, we'll call that a winner for now. We have got some
Yes,
other
okay.
options for future weeks to listen to. We'll listen to it again at the end, I guess. We'll listen to it again at the end. Shall I do
Very
the
good.
intro then?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, welcome everybody to We Can't Promise Anything, advice with Marion and Gilly. In my head, the and Gilly part is in brackets because it's really about Marion, but we'll come to that. So, in lots of ways, this is a standard advice show, like a radio advice show. So people send in their problems and we'll try to offer some words of wisdom. Of course, how we respond will be coloured by the particularities of who we are. So we're two friends from Newcastle who really love each other and often discuss the problems in our lives and other people's problems as well, whether they know or like that or not, whether we're invited or not. I think it's good to know that we're of different generations, got an intergenerational friendship, and we have different viewpoints on lots of things, and we like to, look for those gristly bits where we don't fully agree and talk about that. So
Yes.
the main thing that shapes the way that we're doing this is that it's completely and utterly amateur. So we're not radio hosts or anything in our normal life. So we're just giving it a pop with
Yeah.
all love and interest and scruffiness that amateurism suggests.
Yeah.
So as the title says, we can't promise anything at all in terms of results, but we are very happy to think and talk about what's going on for people who write in.
Yes.
So this is Gilly. I'm Gilly. I'm the one reading out the introduction, and my friend is the great Marion Milbourne of Ponteland. I asked Marion to do this. I suggested this to Marion, this radio show, mostly because she has been the aunt to all my agonies over the past decade and some, including work woes, fashion flurries, multiple devastating bereavements, and an interminable slurry of romantic sludge. So yeah, I started to think that it was a bit unfair that I was keeping Marion to myself, and thought the great listenership of Star and Shadow Radio could benefit from her sagacity. That's the first introduction done. What do you think?
Well, it's a little bit over flattering, Gilly, right? And whereas you say, you see yourself as in brackets, I don't actually see any brackets at all. And I also think it's good to mention that neither of us hold ourselves up as experts in anything.
Yeah. No.
But we do like to look at things from as many angles as we can find. I think it's a very interesting pastime that we've developed.
Yeah. I mean, we've already been on the phone for 40 minutes before we've actually got started.
Sadly, yes, we have. I mean, we can fill our days in. It's lovely.
Talked about all kinds of stuff.
Yes, and avoiding all of, for me, tidying my paperwork, which I've been saying I'll do for years, and I still haven't done, but I can find as many diversions as there are, you know.
So it's good that you've got this diversion, isn't it, Marion?
Oh, yes, this is a lovely, although slightly scary diversion, because I've never done anything like this before.
No, but maybe we think of it as we're offering the listenership diversions in thinking about what they're diverting themselves from and writing an email to us so that we'll talk about their diversion instead. So actually, we're just helping with a whole very important procrastination loop.
Yes, and we're creating a whole avalanche of diversions.
A series of diversions, Marion?
Absolutely. But also, I hope we're also giving a little bit of an example that if we're prepared to put ourselves out there and do something different, regardless of, we have no idea how this is going to work out. So if we're prepared to do this, then maybe there's options for everybody out there, you know?
Very wise. That's the kind of wisdom we need, Marion. Shall we move on to the first problem then?
Yes. Well, I think we'll just set the tone first. Yes. And I would just like to start off with a little quote from Walt Disney.
Oh, God.
Who said that the only certainty in life is change. Right. I know lots of other people have said it as well in different ways, but I do like the Walt Disney version, and I think it kind of sets the scene of we might be able to, in our talking about problems, suggest, chat about a different approach. So it's all about change and being open to change, and maybe everybody might find something that's useful for them. If they don't, that's fine as well.
And they'll just be entertained by us.
Well, we'll be entertained by us. I don't know about anybody else. So, you know, it's all about us.
Right, I'm going to move on to the next problem so we can get going.
Okay. You mean the first problem?
Yeah, the first problem. I mean, we've already had our problems of procrastination, to be honest.
But... Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
So, this is an anonymous writer in. So this person says, I've recently met a lovely guy who I've been getting to know during lockdown. For a slightly anxious person like me, this has been a really nice and very calm way of getting to know someone. However, for someone who receives positive communication from human connection and touch, it's a slightly strange scenario to be in. I do wonder what it'll be like when we're finally together and if I'll still feel the same way about this lovely guy. Will the lovely guy still be there? What do you think, Marion?
Well, the guy will still be there, but will the lovely still be there?
Yeah.
I think that's the question.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what a nice question to start off with, don't you think?
I do like a romance question.
Me too. And what a lovely... It's not really a problem. It's a lovely situation to find yourself in, I think, in...
But I can see how it is nerve-wracking. If you're used to dating, and of course I've done an awful lot of dating.
Yes, you have. Mm-hmm.
if you're used to doing that in person, and you get some of the pleasure of it is actually like being in a person's company and the physical contact, yeah. Sort of excitement of like, ooh, are we gonna like touch? Are we gonna hug? Yeah. Are we gonna kiss? Then I can see how this experience might be not necessarily diminished, but just really, really different.
Well, it is really different. These are very, very different times. And for now, all relationships, not just new relationships or distance, they're all removed from personal contact.
Well, right? Apart from if you live in the same house as your love, which might provide different issues.
Listen, I tell you, there's a lot of social distancing going on in houses. It's not all joy. It's partially joy, but it's not all joy. But yeah, we'll have sometimes there's problems that we'll have a choice over and sometimes that you don't have a choice. So currently there is no choice. The distance is there and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Right. So I suppose for me, if I was in that situation, it would be for me enjoying, learning how to enjoy the distance, and also the anticipation of an ultimate personal meeting, right? But at the same time, without letting me head run away.
That's a difficult situation.
It is the difficulty, yes.
It's a bit like having a long distance relationship, isn't it? And when I've tried to do that before, what happens is that each person develops their own version of what's actually happening. And then when you do meet, that can be really lovely, but it can also be like, oh, hang on a second. I thought this was completely different. We're not at all on the same track here.
Correct. And it can be lovely or it can be a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things here that the writer, the problem haver could do. So if what they're doing at the moment is just sending WhatsApp messages back and forth, they can wrap that up and start to actually have conversations on the phone or on video messaging. Because there's nothing, you know, messaging back and forth, it just, for me, it causes all kinds of weird, this person said that they're slightly anxious. There's all kinds of anxiety around, oh, will the message back? Was that the right thing? Did I get my tone right? It's really hard to convey my tone over a message. Is that too much? Is it too little? Oh no, I better wait. I message last. All of that crap that can just be.
Well, the only thing, words are open to interpretation. And also that's the only signal you've got. If you're speaking to someone face to face, you've got facial expression to look at. You've got tone of voice to listen to and the words to listen to as well. So you've got a lot of other stimuli coming at you. Yeah. To make an assessment of, so that in your head you can think, how's this going? It's all a little bit one dimensional, just writing words on paper.
Yeah.
Or text, words.
So many times I've ended up messaging someone loads off a dating app or whatever. And then I build it up to this huge thing in my head and I meet them and I'm like, oh God, no.
But then, really, that's because you have made them into your ideal person.
Absolutely.
Not seen them for the person they are. So I think for a distance thing prior to meeting, whenever that will be, is about trying to keep it real and also in the moment, because it's also very difficult to ring it for me. Would be to rein myself in and not to start me, to let my imagination, to let my thoughts start to run away of where's this going? Oh, what about this? What about that? When really you're just speaking to each other at the minute, it's gonna unfold in its own time. But
I think maybe not the other thing. So to not like, because I don't know, none of us know when we're gonna be able to like meet new people out of the house and stuff. But I can imagine what I would end up doing. I'd think that I had this intimate bond with someone and then the first day I would rush everything and I would want it to snap into being a relationship or snap into being whatever, something more advanced than it really needs to be. And I think one thing that I would try to do if I was in this person's situation is just to really try and stay present to what it actually is. Correct. And there is still time ahead to develop something in person, that it's like another phase rather than a fruition.
But at the same time, really enjoy the pleasure of connecting with somebody.
Yeah.
Isn't this lovely? There's potential here. And I'm going to enjoy the anticipation of where this is going to go. So rather than feeling anxious, I'm going to try and enjoy it, right? Because we all have expectations, and it's about, for me, it's about managing expectations and not hooking too much, not expecting too much.
Mm. Yeah, just kind of. There's maybe ways of doing that, like remembering that you've got friendships and not completely over-prioritizing this romantic connection, like not making that your first port of call all the time.
Yeah, but enjoying it at the same time. But no. At the same time, have a little voice in your head that says, do you know, this is a lovely person who I've met, and we really seem to be connecting and we're getting on. And what a fantastic opportunity to actually get to know this person before we actually meet. Because in pre-lockdown life, you wouldn't have had that opportunity. Things move at a different pace.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes so, it's too fast a clip.
Yeah. It's quite nice to be able to indulge yourself and let this work in its own time, because you have no power over making it work faster. You can't be impatient. It's just got to unfold. And if you can get enjoyment from that, what a lovely thing to have in lockdown. But at the same time, I completely understand. I would be anxious of, I don't want this to turn into a distant relationship that just kind of stays there.
Mm-hmm.
What about when lockdown eases a little bit? I'm not going to say over, because we don't know when it will be over, but it will ease at some point.
Mm.
You know,
I think this is very exciting, and it
me too.
I think it's great that this person is already aware of some of the potential pitfalls and difficulties, and I lovely listener, lovely problem haver, please let us know how you get on.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to have an update on this.
Oh, yeah. Right. So anyone can email us at wecan'tpromiseanything@gmail.com. So that could be updates on your problems. If you've got any other advice for any of these people, so if you've got any contributions to make, if you think our advice is wrong or we've missed something, please do email in, because as we've emphasised very clearly, we're very much amateurs, and we're just having a pop at this advice game. You can send in your own problems as well, romantic or otherwise.
Yes. And, you know, the more opinions and the more contributions, I think the better for the person who's asked the question.
Sure.
Right?
But ours so are the, most, ours are the most important and the most current.
Well, obviously, Gilly, that goes without
saying, really. Shall we move on to the next problem?
I think we will, yes.
So yes. This one,
I think say good luck to the first problem. Just all I would like to say at the end is, really good luck. Seed is a fabulous problem to have. And it's like all the best, you know. I hope it really works out.
Me
Time
too.
Time will tell.
I'm excited for the update. Send it
yes.
in.
Yes. Yeah. Right, sorry, Gilly. Problem two.
Problem two. So this is also something a little bit to do with sort of anxiety. I know lots of people are feeling anxious. So this person sent in a sort of amalgamation of problems. So this person lives in one place and is a citizen of another place. So has paperwork and bureaucracy between these two countries. And they have to do, you know, their tax return and their accounting. And all of that is, you know, tricky, but they know how to do it. They know how to do it. There's some like maybes and they're trying to find things out. But at its base, this person knows how to do the admin that they need to do. The problem is that they doing it makes them anxious. but at the same time, not doing it makes them anxious. So they're stuck in this sort of infinity loop of anxiety around these sort of personal financial admin tasks. What can they do?
Do you identify with that?
Oh, I'm sat here with papers from the bank that I have to deal with.
Oh, it's, I really identify with it. It's like it could be me, you know?
Was it you, Matt?
There's things I want to do and there's things I need to do. You know, don't always get the balance right.
I'd much rather mess about with me tomatoes than deal with the letter from the Building Society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've got like a pile of stuff I should be doing. But I keep, as I've said, finding diversions, you know?
So what can we suggest to this problem haver, which might also benefit us?
Well, I can tell you what I keep saying to myself, and I'm making a little bit of, I'm not where I was a few years ago. I'm slightly better organised. And I think it's the reality of the practicalities of what they have to do is also offset with the worrying about it. And it's the worry that's the obstacle. So it's really about learning how to manage worry and not be overwhelmed by it. Because I think if you take the break off on worry, sometimes it's a little bit consuming. So it's a bit like saying, who's in charge of my emotions? Am I in charge of them, or are my emotions in charge of me, for example? Right, so sometimes it's very easy for me to think, I really don't want to do that because I'm worried about what the outcome will be, and it's a big ask. So I might say, well, I'm going to indulge that worry for a set length of time, and then I'm going to do it. I mean, there's lots of different things I do.
Yeah.
I've tried to write worries down in a little book and say, well, I'm going to have a certain time every day, and that's when I'm going to open my book and have a look at what's worried me today and consider what I can do to address. Or another thing I've done is I've said, well, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to completely divert myself and do some stretching exercises, or I'm going to clear my head and I'm going to refuse to worry. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something. I'm going to actually address something that needs to be addressed. And I'm going to ease the practical load a little bit.
It makes me think that in this particular time, there's a different kind of procrastination that goes on. It makes me think that, it reminds me of when, my PhD supervisor is obviously an academic, and when he... when he was writing a book, he had a sabbatical, so he didn't have to do any teaching. And he said that he found it really difficult to get any of the research done because he didn't have the structure of having to go and do the teaching. So he found himself going along to all kinds of committee meetings that at the university that otherwise he would be too busy for, because they had some kind of structure to sort of press against and say, oh, well, I must get that bit of research done before I go to that meeting or whatever. So I think there are different things that you can put in place to make practical tasks possible for yourself when time feels very loose. So like when I was doing my PhD, I had very strict writing goals. And as soon as I hit that writing goal for that day, it didn't matter if what I'd written was rubbish, I could stop. So then at least I knew I had to make a certain amount of progress in a certain way, and then I could stop. And right now I'm doing this writing thing where I have to write 400 words a day, which isn't very much if you, you know, if you're in a flow of writing.
Yeah.
And then after that, I stop. I don't go, oh, well, I'll do another 300 words. 400 words a day is enough. And the other thing, the thing about that, that thing, it's called the Any Good Thing Writing Challenge. So it's a thing online. You can look it up. It's really good. You can sign up. Is all you have to do each day is just take one little step towards what you're doing. You don't have to finish a paper, you don't have to write anything. You don't have to embark on a new bit of research. You just have to make one small step, which is represented by this 400 words goal. And I think that's really helpful. So in my head, when I've got all these like little tasks I've got to do that I don't want to have to do, or a bit of reading for something I'm studying or whatever, I tell myself, right, you've got 60 minutes. You only have to do this for an hour. And you can pretty much do anything for an hour, concentratedly, I'd say, as an adult. An hour. Or it could be shorter or longer. Well, maybe not longer. And so what I might do if I was this person is I would be like, right, between 12 and 1 tomorrow, I'm going to tackle this as best I can. I probably won't get it finished. I won't solve it. But between 12 and 1, my attention is only on this thing. And I'm not going to also go and like try and bake some bread and have a shower and talk to a friend and learn a language or whatever. I'm only going to do this. And then the next day, do another hour until it's done.
And if an hour feels too long, just do 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So just start whatever feels, impose your own. I agree with that. And then the reward comes after you've done the important job. It's like a maturity thing, isn't it? It's a child who wants the reward first before they invest in the work.
Well, don't we all have that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know? So what we're programmed. It's like, even as adults, we're programmed to want nice things first and like just put the more challenging stuff to one side. When really there's a balance comes when it starts to get a little bit stressful and worrying, where really actually stop chasing rewards, because actually they're not rewards anymore, they're turning into worries.
Yeah.
And dealing with the core of needs rather than wants to be addressed. So, you know, you're talking about structure. Well, the person who's asked this question, part of their problem is there is no external structure financially, that with lockdown there aren't proper processes in place. So they have to accept that not everything out there is under their control. But the person who is under their control is them. So I agree with you, devote a slot of time to this is what I'm going to do, and after that I can guarantee that if you do that you feel absolutely liberated.
Yeah.
At the end of that, of whatever time you allocate yourself,
you get a sense of mastery, don't you? You're like, oh well, I managed to do that, so then I can do that thing.
Yeah. So it's like you're rewiring yourself to do the right thing for you, and therefore it makes you feel a million times better.
It's this person doing their accounting and us doing our bits of admin will actually it is actually its own reward. We will feel better if we do it.
Speaking for myself, if I don't do it, I still carry it around in my head.
Absolutely.
So it's, even when I divert, it's not like it's like it doesn't exist. It's still there in my head. It's just I'm pushing it back, right? Then if I exert a little bit of self-discipline, but that's not a criticism, it's just a fact, and actually focus myself, it's the feeling of achievement, because you do feel like always feel like if I've done something I've been really avoiding doing, the sense of achievement and the lightness and the freedom you feel afterwards, it's like,
oh, I feel like a champ.
Fabulous. Me too. So it's about us perhaps suggesting something to the person who's asked the question of how can they put themselves in that zone. And also remind ourselves maybe a little bit about how we can put ourselves in that zone of being focused and productive in the correct way.
Aren't these problems just basically helping us, Marion? This is great.
Oh, absolutely.
This is self-help.
Favourite topic.
Oh, yeah. Right, I'm going to move on to the next one. I think we've done that one.
Well, I hope that's a little bit helpful.
Yeah. And
again, if anybody else has got any better ideas or something more constructive to contribute, then we'd love to hear from them.
Yeah, we can't promise anything at gmail.com.
Perfect.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like this problem. I mean, as much as I can like someone else's problem. So this person wrote in on behalf of their friend, such as the importance of anonymity in this particular question.
Yeah.
So I have a real problem with my aging parents who have the opposite politics to me. I can barely have a normal conversation with them because everything turns so quickly towards either Brexit, Boris's election victory, or climate change. When we chat, I try to avoid hot topics, but they can't resist. And before long, a few red rag triggers are thrown in and I get in the ring. They also constantly send me links to the stuff they read and watch online, suggesting we engage in some reasoned discourse. I just see red because there is nothing reasoned about the media they are sharing with me. It's all ideology. I asked them to stop sending me stuff, and they did for a while, but now they're back on it again. I love my mum and dad, but this is a real test of our relationship. What should I do from a stressed out parent of two? Go on, Marion, what do you think?
Well, you see, the difficulty here is it's their parents. If it was a friend, you'd be able to take the brakes off a lot more, don't you think?
And yeah, you could just back them off a bit.
Yeah, pretty parents. So there's a relationship there which is different to any other relationship that you have with anybody else in the world, really, you know? But I think the person who asked the question has also slightly answered the question as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've said is, you know, a few red rag triggers are thrown in and then they pick them up and react.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, I mean, you know, we all know people have people in our lives who have very different views, maybe, that we might not agree with or are absolutely the opposite to what we believe. And I think it's something that everybody can identify with. But I think also when you have a relationship with your parents, that's something to be nurtured as well. But maybe in this instance, not on the basis of politics.
Yeah, this might not be true at all, but something in me thinks that the parents know that this is an emotional reaction in this person.
Do you know? Me too. And I'm wondering if maybe they've all slipped into a habit. It's like a bit like tension, mm-hmm, of if we do this, then we're all engaged on some sort of level. It triggers, yeah, off. And it may be it's an alternative to talking about maybe more important subjects.
Yeah, I sort of wondered that. Like, is this a way for the parents of the problem haver, that they're like, something subliminally is like, we want to be able to connect emotionally with our adult child, and this is the terrain that seems to set them off emotionally, so let's just like sprinkle a bit of that in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the questioner has to accept that they're going to have to drive some sort of change. It's not going to come from the parents.
Yes.
So it's going to be, it's maybe a question of re-educating the behaviour patterns and the interactions between the two. So try not to see red rag triggers. Try to maybe imagine something else, like little sparkly sparkles instead of.
But you do love glitter, Marion.
I do. I absolutely do. So recognize in your own head that it's a red rag trigger, so change it into something else. And instead of responding with your views, which you're entitled to, they're entitled to their views, why not say something like, parents, dears, haven't you done a fantastic job to create me as an independent person? And isn't it fantastic that we're all free thinkers?
Yeah, I would be more on that end, I think, like, because I also, you know, I can end up in wild rows with my parent.
Oh, it's red mist.
And it's just, you know, actually the best thing, I think, is to just disengage.
Gilly, someone's ringing. My landline's ringing.
Marion, I told you to turn everything off.
Well, I can't turn my landline off.
You unplugged it. Well, if this is not a sign of our amateurism, then I really don't know what is. I am going to then respond. I think this person should disengage as much as possible.
Right. Very good.
Not disengage. Right. That's fine. I was just saying, I think this person should disengage. Not completely, not to like be cruel or to cut anyone off.
No, disengage with affection.
Disengage with affection, but on these topics. So I would say, if your parents send you these things, ignore. Just don't
delete.
Comment.
I would have said delete.
Delete.
You can ignore if you like, but if you delete them, you remove temptation from having a look at them later. That's delete.
That's true. And if you get on the phone with them and they start to peddle their views that you find unacceptable, I think, first of all, you have to accept that they're not going to change.
Correct. But just like you have to accept that how you feel about your views and that you wouldn't like it if you're entitled to them.
Yeah.
So you would hate it if somebody tried to make... So, don't see them as a challenge. There's Robin Hood coming through the forest with a message for me. Did you hear it?
No.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, I did. Anyway, you have to accept. Sorry.
Marion's getting distracted by everything.
I am. Well, there's a lot of things going on around me.
Marion, focus. This person's written to us with a serious problem.
I know, I'm so sorry, important person with a very, very important problem. I think they've got to change their attitude and start to re-educate their parents, which isn't an overnight thing.
You always talk about this, Marion. You always talk about re-educating your parents, which is a very difficult thing to do. But I really understand, I think I understand it now more. And it's not about telling them what you want them It's about, it's almost like a child, isn't it? It's like rewarding them with attention for the behavior that you find amenable to, or that you find positive, and removing yourself from the attention, not fueling the rubbish that
the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to have boundaries. You're allowed to like not accept.
Yeah. Don't keep cooking more fuel on the fire. Find a different way. So next time you see your parents and you know they're going to bring up politics or something, or something that's going to annoy you, why don't you go prepared with a few diverting, as you know, we've talked about being the experts of diversion. Why don't you go with some diverting responses to move the conversation slightly away? Like, do you know, isn't it great that we've all got different opinions? And I totally respect your right to an opinion. There's nothing offensive about saying that. Oh, and by the way, whatever. So, something not political?
Yeah. Ooh, I really feel for this person. I would find it
so
really...
So do I. Oh. Because, do you know, it's a huge ask of self-control.
Oof.
It's a huge ask to ask them to try and rein in, when sometimes you can rein in for so long and then it all just explodes out.
I do wonder if this person, when they feel that in their body, I was thinking this a bit with the previous questioners as well, that like where in your body do you feel this like sense of sort of elastic spring back of like, oh no, I have to respond. And can you, when you get it in your body, just sort of take a breath, know that it's there, calm down and make a different kind of choice.
Exactly. So it's how can you stay connected to your brain when there's a barrier, a veil coming down in between your brain and your mouth, right? How do you keep that barrier up so that you stay rational? And but it's about like learned behavior, isn't it? It's you know, there's loads of scientific experiments of like Pavlov's dogs. If they rang a bell, the dogs started to salivate. So it's like the parents know that if they talk about Brexit or whatever, it's like that's the trigger to get an ingrained response.
It's like a child being naughty, doing something that they know
it is,
because then they know the parent will react that day.
Correct. So I think the questioner has to take the role of the parent in this one.
Ooh.
Right? And see the parents as the children who need to be trained to respond appropriately.
Yeah, right. I think that's the theme. I think that's.
But I think they'd have to see it as a long-term project.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a quick fix.
No, this might be a rest of lifetime kind of pursuit.
But I think you can make, I think progress will happen, but it might be slow.
Yeah.
But the more you give that instant reaction, the longer the current behaviour patterns will persist.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Marion, I think we're on to our last problem, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're on to our last problem. I think we should we go for it?
Yeah, go on.
Final problem of the pilot show of We Can't Promise Anything, Advice with Marion and Gilly. Okay, so this one has come from Liz in London. So Liz says, I decided to shave a lockdown undercut with my husband's beard clippers. Do you know what an undercut is, Marion?
Yeah, it's where you cut underneath your hair.
Yeah, so there's a floppy bit over the top.
Yeah.
So what Liz says is, it came out rather well, if I say so myself. It really shows off my classy grey patches that are speckled with my natural ginger and brown tones. So my question to you, what next? A DIY pixie cut to blend the undercut in, a full buzz cut, or keep the long bits on top for fun styling?
Well, I like all the suggestions, but maybe not the full buzz cut.
Oh, no. I love a full buzz cut.
No.
You know, all these people are shaving their heads but for lockdown, particularly like male-identifying people. And as they walk past my, because I sit in my front room, most of the time at my desk, and I see people going back and forth, and I'm like, oh, isn't everyone so attractive with their shaved heads?
And actually, how attractive you can be without external influence.
I'd love a shaved head. Me and my friend Rose, we've always loved a shaved head. I think it's my generation. There was a certain thing in the early 2000s when I was in sort of mid-teens.
It wouldn't be my choice, but you can have one by all means.
Oh, Liz, I think you could go for all of it, really. So right now you've got
me too.
So you can do your fun styling, and when that gets a bit tiresome, you could shave it up into it like a nice sort of gradiated pixie cut, if you can manage that technically. I'm pretty sure I couldn't, but my housemate Georgie's been doing a great job with things like that. And hairdressers might be out of action when all of this is over.
When I have socially distant chit-chats on my way down to the village and things, if I'm going to the shop, you'd be amazed at how many couples I meet where the wife says, oh, I'm cutting my husband's hair. And I don't think he's ever going to go back to a hairdresser or barber ever again in his life. And so we're all learning what we can do, you know?
Yeah. I think head towards a buzz cut, but take your time.
Take your time. Who knows how long lockdown will last, but also hopefully we're never ever going to get an opportunity like this again, so go for anything.
Oh yeah,
you know, you've got to find out what you're made of, right?
And good earrings. I love the look with like really short hair and good earrings.
Oh well, short hair is just made for earrings. Yeah,
show them off.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to come back to what we're doing. We're doing making this program
with
no idea what anybody will think.
I don't care.
Hopefully we're never going to have a lockdown experience again. So why not stand up to be counted and find out what you're made of?
Try
something out. You don't know. Liz with her husband's clippers, you know, take the same attitude. You don't know what you're made of. You don't know what you look like till you have a go. So just have a go.
Yeah. Oh, but Liz did some pics. She did send some pictures of how it is. It looks really good, what she's doing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the colours are really lovely. Because she's got this brown, she's got quite reddy hair, and then she's got grey coming through. I love grey hair. Ooh, Liz is
so is the colour on hair at all? Is this her natural hair?
Which obviously, then there's another opportunity. You could, of course, do a bit of colour, and then because it's so short, it'll grow out, and you can shave it off again.
Well, the opportunities and choices are endless, aren't they?
Endless. Love it. Absolutely. Liz, send us some more pictures. We can update the audience on what's going on.
Yes, but we're totally supportive and it's just like, go for it.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Mm-hmm. Marion, we've come to the end.
You're kidding.
Come to the end of the show.
Wow.
I think there's been some great themes about being present. So really knowing what's happening right now in your body, experiencing it fully, going for things. I think the theme of the show is really diversions of different sorts.
Yes. And how you can learn to manage maybe your own diversions.
Or use diversions to your benefit.
Yes, it's managing and creating.
Oh, this is great. I've really enjoyed myself.
Well, I've quite enjoyed it. I hope everyone who listens enjoys it. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Have a mind.
I think as long as we've enjoyed it, Gilly, that's the important thing. Yep. And I think, shall we say before we go, that if anybody would like to make a contribution to get in touch, if anybody has a problem that they'd like us to talk about, to get in touch.
Yeah.
What's our email address again?
wecan'tpromiseanything@gmail.com. Also... Yeah. We're on Storm and Shadow Radio, so there's other great shows on Storm and Shadow Radio. I encourage everyone to listen to Storm and Shadow Radio.
Yeah.
And Storm and Shadow is, of course, I'm sure everyone who's listening will know, Storm and Shadow is a completely volunteer-run cinema in East Newcastle. It's a wonderful place. Anyone can get involved. All these amateurs like us. Some professionals who do it on a voluntary basis.
Yeah, but I know we're amateurs, Gilly, but we've faced our fears and had a go.
Yeah.
And if that's not a great high note to end on.
Well, Star and Shadow is a great place to do that. And Star and Shadow is a venue normally, and obviously it's shut down, and that's why the radio has begun. But Star and Shadow does have, you know, bills to pay. So there is a fundraiser. So if you go to the Star and Shadow website, you can also donate to the Star and Shadow so that it can stay afloat in these tricky times.
Excellent.
Shall we listen to our jingle to play us out?
Yes, please. Shall we say bye before we listen to it?
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Oof. Wow, that was tricky for me to sit with. Very nerve-wracked. It's over. Thanks for listening. Someone just started listening now. You've missed it, man. But you can listen again. Hooray. Best thing. Listen again. If you've already listened, you could listen again if you really wanted to. Sophie says that she's been taking some notes, gathering Marion's advice. So maybe you need to have another go at it so that you can make your notes and apply them. I am so nerve-wracked. That is unbelievably scary. During the show, I have received a new pair of clogs through the post. I'm very pleased with them. And I've also written 248 of the words that I said, of the 400 I was talking about. So, and yeah, I'm trying to write about the radio show while doing the radio show. It's a bit tricky. We've actually got lots of questions that we didn't deal with. So sorry if we didn't look at your problem, but we will. This is too nerve-wracking for me to do every week, but we'll be back in a fortnight, 10:30 on Wednesday the 3rd of June. So listen in then. Tell your pals, send us a problem. Have a good day.